highlighting the amazing stories from inside the North Clackamas School District. This is the Proud to Be NCSD podcast, hosted by longtime principal and current community relations director, Curtis Long.
It's no secret that all North Clackamas School District teachers, in their own unique way, go above and beyond to engage and inspire their students. Some may arrive at school hours before the first bell, so kids can get in a little extra practice before that final competition. Especially at this time of the year, some stay up late into the night to put the finishing touches on a student's college letter of recommendation. Others may take time out of their lunch period to join students sliding down slides on the playground. Then there's Rao Middle School language arts teacher Lucas Dix, who doesn't use textbooks or worksheets to teach his students how to properly place punctuation in sentences. Instead, he does this.
For and nor, but or yet so. For and nor, but or yet so. Like I could have said yes, but I said no. Put a hand in the air if you get it, let's go.
Yep, that's Mr. Dix himself rapping about correctly construed commas as his Shamrock students sing backup in a YouTube video that caught the eye of local and national news a few years back.
Okay, we need a comma after cities and states.
But the comma dance isn't just a whimsical one-hit wonder for this rhyming Rao rapper. Dix has also inspired his students with viral follow-up raps about capital letters and parts of speech.
Every time I speak, I use the part of speech. I make my sentences complete using part of speech. Every time I speak, I use the part of speech. I make my sentences complete using part of speech.
Keeping Rao 6th, 7th, and 8th graders motivated about middle school every step of the way. Today on the Proud to Be NCSD podcast, meet the man behind the mic, whose official role at Rao is media arts and journalism instructor. But unofficially, he's the champion of creating a school culture where everyone feels welcome, included, and celebrated.
Pronouns. Everybody say it, and antecedent is the word it replaces instead of singing Seth.
And here he is, the man behind the comma dance, the capital letters rap, and the parts of speech rap, keeping kids at Rao coming back for more. It's media arts and journalism instructor Lucas Dix. Lucas, thanks so much for taking time out of your day today. We're actually recording this at the end of a school day. How'd it go today at Rao Middle School?
It was a classic day at Rao Middle School. There was some headaches, and there was some really positive moments, but yeah, it was a day. It was a day in middle school in 2023.
Now, if people are checking the photo that goes along with this podcast, they'll see the sweet headband you're rocking today and the outfit you're going with today. Explain yourself.
We try to do a lot of different things at Rao Middle School, and we have a large contingency of staff members who believe that as many positive activities as students can participate in, the better. So I think this is our second Spirit Week of the year, and that's normally put together by my Shamrock New students. Spirit Weeks are really interesting because a lot of the kids want to do stuff that they've seen on TikTok, like anything but a backpack day,
right,
and
right.
People are bringing canoes to school. So it's the thing that I always talk about. Like, it has to be fun, but it has to be middle school fun, and it has to be appropriate fun, which for a lot of people isn't fun for like middle schoolers. So this week we're doing our second Spirit Week of the year, and today was retro day, and I think 60s were 6th graders, 7th graders had to dress like 70s, 8th graders were 80s, and then they gave the staff the aughts, the 2000s,
okay,
which like some of us, I graduated high school and college in 2000,
right,
so it was a little
all
bit
right.
different, but some of the staff members were like, I was here in 2000, I'm wearing the same t-shirt that I wore in 2000, so it wasn't much of a stretch for us.
I was already here at that time. I'm just wondering how the 7th graders pulled off the 70s today, or the 8th graders pulled off the 80s. They don't know anything about that.
It's a tough one, man. The retro days normally don't go over too well. Stuff like pajama day really pops off. We had beach day yesterday that went really well. Twin days kind of go well. It's a lot of hit or miss of just, it's not as celebrated or widely promoted as the high school level.
Okay, I'm sure the big question lots of our listeners want to know after hearing that opening sequence, where do those song ideas come from?
When I was doing the parts of speech stuff and the grammar raps, that was back when I was teaching 6th grade, and those all came from, I was doing my master's class and they wanted some way to instruct that wasn't just worksheets, and so I made the comma dance song, and then after that one kind of popped off a little bit and we got some recognition,
yeah,
we got blogs and stuff like that, then it just became a tradition of when I had my 6th grade class, I was like, alright, next year we'll do capital letters, the year after that we did parts of speech, and then I moved out of 6th grade,
okay,
and then since then, which I actually think are even like the more impressive type of stuff, we've been doing school songs based on a theme, so we had a song called We Got This, and then we had a song called Rise Up, and then Level Up, and then then Dream Big did not happen due to the pandemic,
right.
And then One Big Team, there was a song, and then last year we did an Elevate song, and this year's Dig Deep, and those songs actually feature students rapping, students singing. The Level Up song we did a few years back, we had a student make the beat, we had a student play guitar on the beat, student play bass, so it's a lot more, it's not so grammar-based, and it's not so like, hey, here's how you use a proper parenthetical. It's like, no, this is our experience as a middle schooler, and this is the kind of stuff that we want to rap about and want to talk about. Once again, it's not necessarily the coolest stuff for a lot of them. I have one of the kids who was on the song, We Got This, is now like, he's a rapper now. That's
Whoa.
His job, which is really cool. But I wonder how often he goes and like shows his friends at like his rap shows and stuff, like, hey, here's the school song I made in eighth grade about how we all got this and stuff. So it's a really cool experience. We're working on one right now. Those are really interesting because it depends on how much you can find those kids.
Yeah.
A couple years, it's like, yo, I found five kids who come up and they're like, yo, I rap. And it's like, sweet, now we have that. And there's some years where kids are like, I'm a singer. Awesome. Oh, you play guitar? Cool, incorporate it. And this year, we haven't really had that. I have one or two kids who are like, I want to rap. So we're working on something right now for a song with them. So
for you, you take what you have at school, the talent that comes forward to you, and you work around that.
Yeah, we just figure it out from there. So sometimes I rap eight bars. Sometimes I got to rap more than that. Sometimes we'll figure it out. And it's a cool experience, and I think the kids like it a lot. And some years, it's been really unifying for us as a building because the music video that accompanies it is the people who are rapping and singing and playing instruments doing that, but then it's also spliced up with clips of kids from our Shamrock News, and sometimes it's a really awesome, beautiful, encompassing thing of like these really positive things that we've done at Rao Middle School throughout the year, and it can be a little nostalgic, especially for the eighth graders, like, oh, what a great time I had this year. So that's one of my favorite aspects of it.
And Lucas just talked about some of those cool songs. Let's take a listen to one of those right here.
Up here flying like a crow, it's easy to get lost on these miles that we roam. Ain't no dial in my tone, you call, I'm there answering. Pick each other up and climb like we stair mastering.
Walking the road, I go straight. Finding the path my own way. Stand tall and I elevate. Take steps to the clouds and we celebrate.
All right, so impressive what those Rao Middle School students under Lucas's direction come up with. Let's go back to the comma dance for a second. Take us through the process of putting that together. How long did it take to write that? And then how long does it take before you have a finished product in a video?
The comma dance was a really cool experience because I think I wrote the song and then I wrote some parts in for the kids to participate,
okay.
The for and nor but or yet so aspects. So then I brought that stuff into the, I brought a studio into the classroom, and then they all did their parts. We had one microphone in the middle and the headphones in the middle, and then we kind of just rapped along. And then I sent that off to my homie who does like mixing and mastering stuff, and he made it sound like good and great. But then when it came time to film the music video, we had different levels and different jobs for people. So some people's responsibility was filming, and they learned how to use the camera. And some people, if you were a rapper and you were going to emulate the lyrics and mimic my voice, you were another job. And then there were some other people who were in charge of like designing the props and making the signs. And then we also had a social media team whose job was to start emailing people and draft emails that were eventually going to be sent out, because once the video was done, then their job was to like send it to KGW8 and all these different places. So everyone had their own gig, and it was probably the first time where I realized like, this is a cool way to approach education, where you get in where you fit in. If I'm good at this, let me go do this. If I'm good at that, let me go do that, instead of everybody having to do this and that. And I think I've taken that and kind of put that into my Shamrock News program as well.
And we'll talk about that a little bit later, but I think people don't understand that you are not Rao Middle School's music producer.
No.
You're a teacher there, so you're balancing all of this stuff along with five other classes that you're teaching throughout the day.
Yeah, absolutely. 1,000%. So, and I think back in those days, we used to just have a two-week period where I taught language arts and literacy workshop, and then my language arts class would just be like, all right, we are going and we're just doing music video stuff for the next 2 weeks.
Now, obviously, you know what you're doing behind the mic. Is this something you've done before? Do you have a music background?
I actually moved out to Oregon with my friend Gavin Sowens, and we moved out here and we were doing like rapping stuff, and I had my teaching degree, and the weird kind of like uplifting, sad, depressing, melancholic story that goes along with this is in 2010, Gavin got diagnosed with cancer and he got his leg amputated, and then in 2012, he passed away in April of 2012, but in March of 2012, I took on a long-term gig at Rao Rao Middle School. Okay. And so I finished the school year out. And then at the end of the year, the principal and assistant principal came up to me and were like, do you maybe want to come back next year? And I was in this place of like, well, I was playing shows and touring. And then I was after that, like coming back and just being a substitute teacher. And then so once Gavin passed, I was like, I don't have anybody to go on tour with anymore. I guess maybe I'll just try to take this job at Rao Middle School. And I picked up a 0.8 job where I taught like three sections of digital citizenship and one section of literacy workshop, and been there ever since.
So you took a job at Rao Middle School, lost your best friend a month later, and you've been at Rao ever since.
And I've been at Rao ever since.
Wow,
and
what a story.
After I got the job at Rao, because I finally had health insurance because I had the job, okay, I went in to the doctor and I was like, yo, I just need you, like, give me the full rundown.
Okay.
And I ended up getting diagnosed with skin cancer like
Oh my goodness.
Like 2 months after I got the Rao job. And so I dealt with that my entire first year.
Did you have any suspicions about that, or you just wanted a physical?
I had one mole that I was like, yeah, that's a little weird.
Yeah.
And mom's being mom, my mom was just like, you should get that checked out. And then 2 months later, I was like, oh, okay. So Rao has saved my life in that way, because I don't know if I would ever gone to the doctor if I didn't have the health insurance that the teaching position gave me. So it was a very wild year that kicked off my teaching career.
Sure did. Now, you mentioned that you moved out to Oregon. Where'd you grow up? And also, if someone had come to 13-year-old Lucas and said, guess what? You're going to be a middle school journalism instructor someday. What would you have told that person?
I grew up in Kenosha, Wisconsin.
Okay, so, Wisconsin. So the Midwest.
Yeah, Midwest. And it's a city that's about 40 minutes south of Milwaukee and about 40 minutes north of Chicago. Right. When people from Wisconsin tell you where they live, they hold their hand up and then they point on their hand like, oh, I'm from right around here.
Do you still get confused with the spelling of Milwaukee?
No, not at all. I got that one.
I-E.
I know I-E out here and E-E back home. So I grew up in Wisconsin, and I don't think I would have been too surprised had I found that out. I was big into journalism in middle school and high school. I was on like the school paper. And also on top of that, I was working with kids already. So my middle school and my high school jobs were, I was refereeing basketball games all weekend. So when I was 14 and in eighth grade, I was refereeing kindergarten games. And when I was 16 and 17, I was refereeing middle school AAU tournaments and stuff like that. So I always worked with kids in some capacity that were younger than me. So I don't think I would have been too surprised. I would have been disappointed that when 13-year-old Lucas would have been like, oh, you don't play in the NBA? as a lot of 13-year-old boys tend to be. That's like, what do you want to be when you grow up? It's like, just a basketball player, or maybe a professional football player,
right,
or maybe baseball. I don't know, something, one of those three.
Well, I've seen you play basketball before, so I'm sure that wasn't too far-fetched when you were 13 years old. That was still on your radar.
Yeah, I could hoop a little bit. Yep. I got a little bit of a jumper.
Yep, I've seen that before, much to the dismay of the Rao students who take on the staff during staff versus student games.
Yeah, and you know, the one thing that, like, it's funny growing up, because that's all I did in the summertime was I hooped. And for a while, after I didn't make the college basketball team, I got cut right at the end my freshman year. I got recruited to go play, and then I got cut. And then I just had these like basketball skills I've been honing and harnessing my entire life. And I was like, I have all of these things, and they are no benefit for me whatsoever. But once I started working at Rao, I would go, and you'd get some kid who was like a sixth grader or seventh grader and kind of cool, and maybe necessarily not like getting along with teachers and stuff like that. And all of a sudden, I'd just be like, oh, you think you hoop? Like, let's go play basketball.
Let's go play.
And all of a sudden, it was just like, oh, this actually is benefiting me in some way. Because then they would be like, yo, I kind of mess with Mr. Dix. He's got a jumper, or he can dribble a little bit. And it has been a key to me being able to connect with some kids.
Yeah.
Even now, I'm 37 now, so I'm not jumping as high as I did when I was 27 and I started working at Rao, but I am still able to use that a little bit. And I coach over at Milwaukee, so I can use that relationship to really connect with some kids sometimes that other people don't necessarily have the way to connect them. But it's not a transferable skill, right? When the math teacher's like, hey, how do you get along with so-and-so? And I'm like, I hit a 30-footer in his face. Like, if you can pull up from 30, that's cool. But if not, I don't know what to tell you about
that. Isn't it amazing, though? And I find this, too, where I grew up just infatuated with public address announcers and radio announcers. And you find yourself, now, I didn't get into that path specifically, but just doing a podcast now, and you having basketball skills that now you're utilizing in a middle school teaching setting. It's amazing how things kind of go full circle for you, where the things that you learn at a young age, you never know when they might pop up again.
Absolutely. I think that's a great point. And I think for me, I mean, I liked to rap when I was growing up. I liked to play basketball. I liked to just do a lot of creative things. And I've slowly, like, I started as a language arts teacher, and I've slowly just morphed my job into being like, you're going to let me play basketball, and you're going to let me make music videos, and I'm going to make videos every week for the Shamrock News, and I'm going to run events, and I'm maybe do some rap songs with everybody. And I just was able to mold the position to meet my desires. So
love it. And you're at Rao Middle School. Now, as a former principal, I talked to a lot of job candidates. candidates. There are lots who will tell me they'll take any job. They'll teach kindergarten. They'll teach high school, but they won't touch middle school. Why do you connect so well with middle schoolers?
For me, the reason why I feel comfortable with middle school is that my skill set does not lie in the development of like the younger kids. Like
you could hit 30 footers on kindergarten.
Yeah, yeah, totally. They might not like it as much, or they might not even know what's going on. But as far as like language arts, I was good at the getting kids going and appreciating poetry, but I'm not good at the here's how you sound out your words. Like that type of stuff was not my skill set. And then high school is so, there's just a pressure with high school that I don't necessarily think fits my skill set either, of like, hey man, you're going from this into college, these grades are really massive and important, and this GPA. And so middle school for me is just this fun place to kind of, the kids are still young at heart, where even like the coolest eighth graders, if you give them like a bracelet or a schrock for being nice, they're kind of like, oh, that's really sweet. But they're also growing up and they're trying to find themselves, and I think that is where my skill set is. The hey, you're starting to showcase that you like to read, let's get you a bunch of different books, I've read all these, let's go. Oh, you're starting to showcase that you like to write, hey, I know some really good writers that you could go talk to. In fact, you should go talk to this teacher over here because they do some really awesome writing stuff. And I think my skill set lies in the you're trying to figure out who you are and what you like, and I'm pretty good at helping you be like, here's how we're going to maximize that. And so I, in my Shamrock News class all the time, we have kids who are like, I kind of like making videos, like, bet, let's do this. Oh, I kind of like making events, sweet, you're going to run the next dance. And that kind of stuff is where I really enjoy the middle school. I don't think I would ever go anywhere else.
Yeah, I want to expand on that a little bit because I've visited Rao many times, and every time I see you, it seems like you're either working directly with students or playing directly with students. So I've seen you giving up your lunchtime to organize a staff versus students basketball tournament. Just recently, you were outside at lunch having a water fight against students out on the tennis court. Are you just a large middle school kid who gets to be a kid on the job?
Yeah, I mean, that does. I am kind of like a golden retriever a little bit like that, or just I like to play. But I think a lot of that goes into just the philosophy that our teachers have. To be honest, the water fight thing, or the water balloon wacky world day, the way that that came out is we had a big staff long email. We've been having a water gun problem at school.
Kids bring
7th graders, 6th graders, 8th graders are bringing them to school. Teachers are turning around to write something on the board. They turn around and there's just like kids soaked with water. And so we're trying to figure out how to do it. And I even in one of the emails like came at it from a more punitive aspect of like, hey, we got to do something about this. Yeah. And our social worker basically came through and was like, obviously our kids are expressing this need to like have fun. Can we meet this need to have fun? And it actually catalyzed a bunch of really great conversations of like, when a behavior is not meeting the expectations, how do you get that behavior to meet the expectations? Does an accountability and a consequence work? Does finding ways to meet the needs that that behavior is expressing works? And so we were all kind of like arguing like, well, what do we do? What do we do? And then one of my Shamrock News students came up and was like, yo, it's supposed to be 85 degrees next Friday. Can we get some water balloons? And I was like, you know what? Mr. Harry was just talking about the fact that that's what you guys might need. And so I talked to Ms. Doyle, our assistant principal, and Ms. Doyle is fantastic in like the event planning aspect of things. And I was like, what do you think? And she was like, bet, I got kiddie pools. We'll get the water blasters. We'll get these water balloons and stuff. And so that whole day came together. For me and my kids did a lot of the organizing, but the thing that made me want to do that day was the fact that our social worker was like, I think the kids need this play aspect. And it even went against what I want, because I was very much in the like, no, they need some consequences and accountability, but I'm willing to listen in that aspect. Yeah. So I was like, sweet, I'll put some swim trunks on and go hang out and get wet. And it turned out to be a really fun day. And I think that it changed my perspective about that specific instance of like, yeah, maybe they do need some more fun. And we try to do that a lot at Rao. We have our staff or students basketball, and Thursday we did a staff or students soccer game. Ooh. And we have a dance this Friday. So we're doing a bunch of those kinds of things. And I think it really just kind of speaks to the fact that we have a lot of teachers who are like, let's have fun with these kids and let's give them a place to have fun. And I think that a lot of middle schoolers don't really have a place to have fun. It costs $30 to go to the movies. Yeah. They go walk around the mall and they got people following them because they're a pack of 15-year-olds and they don't know what TikTok challenge they're going to try and do. And so the school, Rao, isn't really much of a neighborhood school. A lot of our kids live 3.5-4 miles away if they're up on Johnson Creek. So they don't really have a lot of like spaces to play sometimes. And that's what we just try to provide them outside of that. So I think that we just try to give them that space to play.
Well, and I think if if you visit Rao, you see an immediate community feel there. Everyone looks out for each other. Everyone feels like they belong. And I know that's what you strive for there.
Yeah. And sometimes, you know, it takes some time because I would say most times at the beginning of the year, there is a level of like the students almost have like a we ride for each other, but the teachers are the authority and we kind of combat that. And it takes us a long time sometimes to get to the place where, you know, we are all on the same team and it's really beautiful. The frustrating thing is like when it's June and everyone's all on the same team, you're like, oh, we got there. And it's like,
and then the year's over.
And then the year's over. And then it's like, all right, back to the drawing board. But it is one of the things that I really appreciate about Rao. I think our track teams and all our sports teams and all of our kids, when they are riding for each other, it's a really beautiful thing.
Speaking of beautiful things, we've already learned how Mr. Dix connects with students outside the classroom, whether lobbing water balloons at them during recess or draining 30-foot jump shots in the gym.
Yeah, I could hoop a little bit. Yep. I got a little bit of a jumper.
Up next, learn how that connection becomes even stronger inside the classroom, especially with students he leads on the school's weekly video news show, The Shamrock News.
We'll be hosting our first efforts to students 3v3 basketball tournament in the gym.
During both lunches, we'll be posted up in the main gym, organizing student teams to go up against teachers.
The teachers have only lost 3 times in the last 3 years.
And what advice would he have for aspiring teachers who want to make a difference in student lives?
To be authentic and to be your authentic self. And you might not hit like a 30-foot jump shot, but like if you really love playing the guitar, play the guitar. If you really love playing the drums, play the drums. If you're a great artist, showcase that aspect. And I think middle schoolers really appreciate that authenticity.
More of our authentic conversation with the reflective Rao rapper.
Welcome to Wilbur D. Rao Middle School, where the teachers are great and every single kid is cool. Truly learn with the common goal. We are safe, respectful, and responsible.
Right after this.
Are you looking for a job right now? Looking to work in a fun and supportive environment with great pay and a rewarding career? The North Clackamas School District is hiring. We're currently filling full and part-time positions. You can work and make a difference in young lives and education as a classroom assistant or substitute teacher. Apply to work in one of our school cafeterias where our lunch staff serves up big smiles with great food every day. We're also looking to hire before and after school caretakers, custodians, and bus drivers. In North Clackamas, we promise it won't take you long to learn why our employees say they're proud to be in NCSD. Apply today on the North Clackamas School District website or call 503-353-6000. That's 503-353-6000.
Let's talk about another of your leadership roles at Rao. You've mentioned this a few times. You lead the school's weekly video news program. That's Shamrock News. We play episodes all the time on the district app. In fact, let's play a quick snippet from one right now.
As I was saying, thanks to money left from our grant funds, we now have snacks again. We have enough snacks for every student to get one granola bar every day. You can get these granola bars in homeroom, so you should get one from your homeroom teacher.
All right, how do you get middle school kids to take on the weekly responsibilities of putting on a high-quality show like that?
The one nice thing that we have now is a longevity and kind of a tradition. So we are at the place where I'm at the fourth sibling in the news program. So we have that tradition that we built on. And so there is that aspect of when the kids come in, I think they even sometimes start watching them in fifth grade.
Sure.
And so they come in and they're like, okay, what's this thing? And when they're sixth graders, it's a little bit more like, wow, the whole school's watching this. And there's kind of that notoriety almost. So they're very interested in that. It's always really interesting at the beginning of the year when the eighth graders are like, yo, the sixth graders are kind of creeping me out. They're coming up and being like, hi, Chloe. And they're like, I don't even know who you are. Why do you know me? But they, over the course of the years in sixth and seventh grade, they see us put the dances together. They see us filming the assemblies. They see us filming all the staff or student sports things. They see us doing like our wacky Wilbur D challenge, like the water balloons or the baby food eating, and they see all these things, and you kind of get to see the freedom that my Shamrock News kids have and the responsibility. And I think a lot of kids really, even if they show no, if they're showing that school is not connecting with them and they're not connecting with school, even sometimes if you're just like, hey man, you think you could help me organize my cameras, all of a sudden there's like the spine gets a little bit straighter and they're like, yes, absolutely. And it's like a badge. And so I think a lot of kids want those opportunities to help dictate the culture. So they come in in and they're like, we're going to do this, we're going to do this this year. When we do our interviews in seventh grade, we interview the kids and we make them write an essay.
Okay.
And they get staff recommendations and there's a whole process. So I normally get about 70, 75 kids who apply and we keep anywhere from like 40 to 50. But a lot of those emails or a lot of those essays and a lot of those interviews, they talk about like, I want a positive school culture. I want a place where bullying doesn't happen. I want a place where kids feel like they belong and have fun. So they come in with that part down. Like they're like, we are here to like make people laugh, entertain people and like have some fun with events. And then from there, the difficult aspect is like, I have to give them the embrace the cringe speech, which is like, none of y'all are cool.
Right.
I'm not cool. I'm a middle school teacher. Y'all are middle schoolers. Nobody in here is cool in the sense that once you start trying to be cool on camera, you look very awkward and it's not fun. So you just have to go in there. And if I need you to sell like, hey, this is where you go get your free breakfast, I need you to sell it like it's a $1 million raffle. And so then the kids at the beginning of the year, you can see them kind of be like, so we have free breakfast every day at Rao Middle School. And by the end of the year, the script is shorter and I just have bullet points for them. They're like, all right, this is what I do. And it's like free breakfast every morning at Rao Middle School. And you can kind of watch them come out of their shell. And a lot of that is just, we have this embrace the cringe. Like, I need you to be cringy. And I know that it's not necessarily the most fun place and most comfortable place to be as a middle schooler. But I think once we take that expectation of cool away and they just get to be themselves, it's really positive for the school too. Because then you have all these different people on the news of different gender identities and sexual orientations and ethnicities and races and just personalities. And the goal is that someone in every single one of the classes is like, that's me. I don't necessarily fit in with everybody, but I know that there's somewhere for me in this building because that person is just like me. And so that's our whole goal with it. And it's a lot to put on them. I mean, I gave them the speech when we introduced season 10 this year, but which was really cool this year is my season 9 kids gave the speech. They're like, yo, this is a big responsibility. You are responsible for creating a culture at this school and you are responsible for creating a community and you need to really take that honor in a really, really serious fashion. And I was like, oh my gosh, I normally have to give this speech. You guys are doing it now. So that was cool. But they come in pretty ready to go. But I have to do the same thing right where by the end of the year in June, my kids are, they're keyframing and they're doing all these different types of green screen special effects and they're able to do that. And then September comes and I'm like, okay, this is how you attach a lens to a camera body. Make sure your microphone's on when you go to film. And it's, I've described it before as by the end of the school year, you find this treasure and you've got this treasure and you get like that last week of school to really appreciate and just kind of throw the coins in the air, Scrooge McDuck style.
Yeah.
And then you have to close your eyes and spin around in a circle while someone else goes and hides it somewhere else. And then you spend the entire next year trying to go find the same treasure again.
Yep.
And you just do that year after year after year after year.
And did you say that you have 75 kids who want to be a part of that show?
We normally have about
program.
75 who apply and we keep about 45 or 50.
Yeah.
And we're pretty strict about like the process of just, you know, we look for a certain GPA, we look for tardies, we look for things because I can't have you be on the news being like, make sure that we're all getting to class on time if you're never in class on time.
Okay.
But I don't necessarily want to completely exclude those other kids, right? So they go into my media arts classes.
Okay.
Sometimes those kids are like, hey, can I help out at the dance? So they come help with dance prep. Like we still want them to have a space to be able to be a part of the community and participate and contribute. But sometimes it's just not on the actual Shamrock News.
You said that you coach at Milwaukee High. You get to be a part of the Milwaukee High School where your Rao kids are going. How rewarding is it for you to see some of those Rao kids who maybe struggled in the sixth grade and now they're flourishing in the high school and you get to see that?
Oh, it's great. I love that. Just all the time when we have the last game of the year and it's the last varsity game and the seniors and the 12th graders are like, you know, they got the sniffles going. It's
sure.
The season has ended. It's always great because I'm going to be like, I remember our first staff students basketball game where we played you and you were a sixth grader. And that's always real fun where I was like, you were 5'3" and I was shooting threes on you and stuff. And now you could put me in the post and dunk on me. And now I got to like look up at you when I'm looking at you. So that's always a really beautiful aspect. Like I said, I grew up playing basketball and I really appreciate that aspect of community. And I think that there is a lot of things that teams, especially basketball teams, teach you. That basketball remains to me like one of my favorite sports in the world just because I can go to any basketball court, meet four people I've never met before in my entire life. And after, if we win like three or four games, I'm like, oh man, what's up, dude? Like, hey man, that was great. And I appreciate that aspect of community that you can develop just off playing some basketball.
Well, you can hear it in your voice as you talk about your job. You always look like you're having the time of your life with your students. But we all know teaching is a tough job. It is a tough job. What advice would you have for aspiring teachers, especially those who are thinking about middle school?
I think the key for teaching middle school is to be authentic and to be your authentic self. And you might not hit like a 30-foot jump shot, but like if you really love playing the guitar, play the guitar. If you really love playing the drums, play the drums. If you're a great artist, showcase that aspect. And I think middle schoolers really appreciate that authenticity. I also think it's important to find your people within your building. And it's one of the things I like about Rao is that we have people who look out for each other, but it's really nice to be able to share what's going on in your classroom and know that there's other people who are experiencing something similar. I was having a conversation the other day with one of our teachers that I'm good friends with, and we were just kind of talking about how hard the year has been and just, man, I don't know what to do. This has been really difficult. This behavior has been tough. I mean, we have a large portion of our students live in poverty, and then post-pandemic, and we have very high special education identification at our school, and it just makes this cocktail that sometimes the behaviors are really, really stressful and difficult for teachers to find the needs to mitigate those behaviors that aren't what we necessarily want to see. And we were just talking about how stressed out we were, and a substitute teacher like looked over and was like, thank you so much. I thought that I was the only one who was like stressed when I came to this school and was working. We're like, no, dude, everybody's feeling it. And I think that sometimes, oh, I've been doing this for 13 years. There have been times, there's one time every year where I like pull up a Google job and I'm like, huh.
Yeah, what would that take?
What would it take for me to do that? I finally have hit the place where I'm like, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not doing anything else. But it's okay to have those thoughts and those feelings, and it's okay to discuss those, and it's okay to talk to other people about those things, to approach teaching from a realistic aspect. And I've been to those teaching conferences. I've gotten to speak at those teaching conferences. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's like every single day we come in and we are ready to just give it all up for the kids. And I'm like, I am. But like there are days where I come in and I'm not ready to do that. And it's okay for me to not be ready to do that. And I think if you can kind of take some of that expectation and that seriousness away from it, you can get back to a place of like, here's my realistic expectations for this, and how do I meet these realistic expectations?
And I think there are district employees and teachers around the country who are listening to this podcast who just heard that and are applauding right now.
Well, I hope so.
We need to recognize that teaching is a tough job for sure. Well, it's late afternoon as we record this. In fact, you sacrificed your daily prep period to join us, which we really appreciate. As we start to wrap things up, when that alarm goes off tomorrow morning, what gets you excited to get up and come to work each day?
Tomorrow, it's 6 o'clock when that alarm goes off. I will go outside, feed my chickens, and then I will go and pick up like two or three kids on the way to Milwaukee when we do basketball workouts in the morning at 6:30. So I like that. We got a nice little weight program that we're doing right now, and it's fun to be in the weight room with like 15 other kids who are playing basketball next year, and everybody's just trying to do weighted step-ups, and we're back squatting, and everyone's miserable. But at the same time, we're also like, I've been feeling a little bit stronger over the last 5 weeks, so I like that aspect. And then once I get the lifting done, then we got Shamrock News tomorrow morning. Wednesday,
we're recording tomorrow morning.
The whole school will watch it.
So the episode comes out.
My Wednesdays are when the episode comes out. Tuesday nights I'm normally at school till about 11:30, putting the final touches on it.
11:30 at night.
Some Tuesdays are crazy, man. Some Tuesdays we start the basketball workouts start at 6:30 a.m. and I get home about midnight. I work at the school where my wife works at, and she'll leave at 4, and I'll be like, all right, see you tomorrow, honey.
See you tomorrow.
But yeah, I like that. And I just being able to kind of do some really fun things with some kids who are working towards a goal really makes me happy. And I'm always down to ride for that.
And that just shows your dedication to this job and to this profession, where you're at a different school in the morning, then getting to your own job, staying until 11:30 at night. We can't let you go without sharing this excitement. And this kind of verifies that. You're actually a finalist for a pretty amazing award coming up. Tell our listeners why they might see you on the local evening news in the next week or so.
Yeah, I've been informed that I am a finalist for the On Point Community Credit Union Educator of the Year. So that's really exciting. I find out Thursday, May 25th. I think it's live on KGW8.
Live on TV. So you're going to be right there on camera. It's you and one other person, right?
You're
down to a finalist.
I'm trying to, I hit him up trying to be like, what? How is this work? Is it going to be like the Grammys where we're both split screened?
Yeah. I don't know.
When the other guy gets named, I have to practice my like congratulations look and you know, like, hide my disappointment or whatever. So it's a really big honor, and I appreciate a former Rao teacher, Mr. Grand, nominated me for the award, and I thought that was really sweet of him. It's one of those things where I appreciate it, and I appreciate all the recognition and people seeing the hard work. Like I said, those like long days. But I also think that there are so many teachers who who are doing awesome stuff that are just doing the 8 to 4.
Yep.
My wife is 10 times a teacher, and like in the classroom than I am. She is just like, those kids learn math and they learn science and they do all these really awesome things in a way that I couldn't do it. But I'm willing to go and put these extra hours in, and I appreciate the appreciation for me, and I appreciate that people see it. But I also think that it's disappointing that teachers who are just like in the classroom doing their design job responsibilities, who are killing it, don't technically tend to win those awards, because it goes to people who are willing to put those extra 15 hours a week in. And I think that both sides of those people really need to be given a lot of love, because the job is not easy whether you're working your 40 or whether you're working 60.
And you can tell by listening to Lucas, he's a pretty humble guy. Do the students even know about this yet? Has it been revealed to them? Do they know to watch the news next week?
So I told Mr. Simpson, our hall monitor, and I was just kind of, I slid into his room and I was like, hey, you know, I just found this out. And they got me last Friday. I have my classroom and then I have a studio office that's like adjacent to it, that's like got our green screen. And he told me, hey, I got someone coming in for the BSU to film something, so can you make sure that this student comes out and films at 3:55? And I was like, yeah, sure. And then I was just about to leave that day. I was like, it's 3:55. I had a sub today for my classes and stuff like that. I was just here doing the water event. I'm gonna go home and I'm gonna like beat the rush. And he was like, yo, I need you real quick. And so the camera's broken. And I was like, the camera's, no way the camera broke. And then I turned the corner and he had like the entire school was in the hallways and they were clapping for me and stuff like that. It was a really cool moment. It's not something that I would have ever asked for,
of course,
but it was definitely something that I appreciated. And it was a lot of love. It filled a big bucket, man. My bucket was definitely draining pretty heavily. And to see that, like I said, just to be reminded of how one big team everybody is, and how everybody within the building, from the janitors to the students, the librarians, secretaries, admin, teachers, like we are all in this together. And that felt very unifying in that aspect. And seeing some kids who I was like, oh, I just yelled at you yesterday and you're giving me a high five. Okay, we're good. You know,
and that's great.
Having that aspect of things. So yes, the students do know about it. They're giving me some love. But a teacher that was subbing at our building on Friday actually came up to me and said that one student was like, hey, this is really important. Everybody needs to give Mr. Dick some love. He's up for a really important award. He's like the best teacher in the school, other than Miss Welker, and Miss Welker is my wife. Yeah. So it was like,
other than Miss Welker.
So to some kids, I'm the second best teacher in my house.
Well, you can't beat that.
Yeah, it can't beat that, right? So I'm going to maybe Educator of the Year. And for some people, I'm second best out of two in my own house.
In your own house. That's
great.
Fantastic. What a great story. Anything else you want to add?
I think the only thing that I would like to add is that teaching has been very difficult over the last 2 or 3 years. And it is still something that's very worthwhile. And if you're thinking about getting into education, I think that it is a very rewarding thing. I may go home stressed, and there are some times where my wife and I go home and we are incredibly stressed, and it's like, it seems like for 3 or 4 days all we've talked about is like how hard this job is. But it is also a very rewarding job. I don't think we've ever gone home and been like, wow, I contribute nothing. And that reward is really powerful, and it's something that keeps me going. And I just know that, like, if you know a teacher, show them some love. If you are a family member of someone who goes to one of our schools, like volunteer to sign up. Like, we would have loved to have 15 families out at our Water World Day. If you hoop and you're like, hey, I want to go and participate in a staff or students basketball game, like the more we can bring our communities into our schools and into our classrooms and have people who are willing to volunteer and who are willing to chaperone dances and who are willing to have the conversations to help remind us all that it is one big team, I really think that's going to make everything so much more powerful for our students, for our staff members, for our families. And I just want to see us do that more. And I think that's something that we're working towards for next year for Rao, of just trying to get our community involved, get our local businesses, our churches, our food carts, all of these places. Because when these kids leave our middle school and our high school, they're going out into our community. And we want to live in a community that is like very accepting. And the same way we talk about as school, like it's a community where everyone belongs. We want that community for everybody outside of that. And I think the more that we can work with the families, and the more that we can support our teachers, and the more that our teachers can support our families, I think is really powerful.
There he is, Lucas Dix, teacher at Rao Middle School, up for a big award. Congratulations on being named for a finalist for the On Point Educator of the Year. Truly well deserved, and we'll be sure to keep our listeners updated on the final results. Either way, we're so proud of you and so thankful for all the daily positive impacts you make on Rao students. The North Clackamas School District has 5 core values as part of its strategic plan: equity, relationships, integrity, empowerment, and care. And Lucas, I think it's pretty clear that you embody every one of those in yourself and in Rao Middle School students. Your commitment to kids truly makes us proud to be NCSD Nasty. Thanks so much for joining us today. Keep those creative raps coming, and good luck with the upcoming On Point Educator of the Year reveal, which will be live on the local news. Have you been practicing your acceptance speech?
I don't even know if I get one. I'm trying to decide if, like, I don't know what I'm going to do if I get accepted. I might just, like, thank my mom and dad and my wife and just move, keep it moving.
That's a good strategy. There you have it, folks. Lucas Dix, Rowell Middle School. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, man. I appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to the Proud to Be NCSD podcast. In North Clackamas, we know that education is a community effort, and we're so thankful that you and your family are a part of our community. Until next time, remember, there are always great things to see wherever you go in NCSD.